Here's our opportunity to add some meaning to the phrase fish out of water, right? You know, that old cliche. There are fish out of water. I think we're learning more about more fish being out of the water. There's some horrible snakehead fish that's an invasive species. And then there's the catfish that we know, quote, walk, you know, between little wet spots. Are they out of the water by accident and just happen to be able to survive out there for a little while?
Well, for most of those kinds of species, you could kind of say it's by accident. They're not really out there because they love it. A lot of them will live in a kind of a habitat that's sort of ephemeral. It's going to dry up or just get really hot and nasty, and they're sort of driven out. But because they can survive out of the water, they are able to get to another place and kind of take up where they left off.
So it's an advantage for a little while.
Yeah. It turns out there are some that sort of take this to the extremes so that they almost seem like you could technically call them amphibians in a way. Not in the sense like a salamander or a frog, but just the literal sense of the word amphibio, two lives living in the water and the land. There are some fish that can spend days or even weeks out of the water and still do just fine.
So describe one to me. Like, what would it do out of the water?
Well, I think the world champion of this is something that looks just exactly like what you think of as a normal little fish, 2 or 3 inches long. Technically, it's a killifish, which is sort of a minnow-looking thing. You can find versions of them everywhere in the world. But these are in the Caribbean area and Brazil, South America area down in there. These can live for up to 2 months, so far as the record, on the land.
What do they do there?
Are
they just flopping around?
Well, like the way people find them is you go up to a log in a usually mangrove forest, which are on the coast where it's kind of salty water and muddy and stuff. And if a mangrove tree gets rotten and the termites dig these tunnels in it and it falls over and is lying there on the forest floor, if you go up to that and roll it over, their fish come flopping out underneath it. And if you break the log open to the termite tunnels, the fish are in there lined up nose to tail, just sharing the tunnel. And when it's moist enough out there, they'll come flopping out and kind of wriggle around on the forest floor, and they'll eat ants. So they're getting food. They don't have any competition from other fish, that's for sure. At the same time, they can live in the water, in which case they have totally different behaviors, and you'd never know anything was unusual about them.
Well, you know, what this brings to mind, obviously, is, evolution. Fish, amphibians, us.
Yeah, it sounds so amazing. How could that have ever possibly happened? You know, why would a fish ever come out of the water? Well,
happens, I guess.
It happens all the time. It's happening now. They're out there doing it. Not turning into frogs or anything, but it does make the point that there are ecological niches on land for fish, and these things don't look unusual at all.
Are there any of these fish, out-of-the-water fish, in North America? I mean, if here in the Northeast, would we find one of these fish? Do any of our fish do this kind of thing?
Well, I'm not aware of any of them. There could well be. In fact, that gets back to these ones in the Caribbean, these little killifish. They're called mangrove rivulus, and specialists thought they were rare down there, too. They didn't even really notice them, but the reason was because they can breathe through their skin in the air, they don't rely on their gills so much. And the normal way to collect fish in these streams and habitats was to throw a fish poison like rotenone in there that kind of blocks your gills and sort of stuns the fish, and they flood up. Well, these guys would just swim away, no problem. And so people didn't even know how common they were. So it's as far as I know, not being a real fish specialist, there might be something in North America, but all the ones I know of offhand are actually invasive, exotic species brought in from mostly Southeast Asia.
Well, we'll keep our eyes open.
Well, now that we're on the topic, I think back to my childhood. I remember when I was in Maine and I caught a big eel, brought it home proudly in a bucket of water and left it on the porch of the house about 200 yards from the lake. And The next morning it was gone, and I went looking for it, and about 200 yards away, right on the edge of the lake, there it was, slithering towards the water.
So you actually were an eyewitness to eels going overland.
Walking eel.
Okay, well, I'll keep my eye out for that. I have heard jokes about eels going cross lots, but never seen one. Thanks very much, Dr. Kurt Steger of Paul Smith College. I'm Martha Foley.
Natural Selections is produced by North Country Public Radio with natural sounds by Ted Mack. The program is underwritten by the Glenn and Carol Pearsall Adirondack Foundation, dedicated to improving the quality of life for year-round residents of the Adirondack Park. www.pearsallfoundation.org. And Paul Smith's, the College of the Adirondacks, 800-421-2605.